It is good to be here in the house of the Lord with you, to be able to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have already begun worship, haven't we? With everything that we've heard, the prayers that's been rendered, the songs that's been sang, just your presence here is an awesome thing. And it means that you have something in your heart that draws you to a living God. Not a dead God somewhere in a grave somewhere, but a living God who rose from the tomb. And pretty soon we're going to be celebrating that. We should be celebrating it every Sunday. Because he is worthy of celebration. So thank you for being here today. You know, as we go through these days step by step, and I'm finding it more difficult to think about things of the past because I have so much to deal with in the moment. And I think that's a good thing. I think the Lord would have us to be in the moment, be thinking more in the moment and less about yesterday and less about maybe what's coming tomorrow, outside the idea and the knowledge that he will return one day and rescue us from this foolishness that we find ourselves in. Because it is a foolish world in which we live. There is no doubt. But you know, people has always been the same. Even God's people. They were chastised so much by God. And yet, they went right back to it. He would give them some kind of courtesy, some kind of kindness, some kind of revelation. They would behave for a while, and then they'd get right back into it. Right back into the sinful, darkened nature, which lies within all of us. See, Christ has given us his light, but there's a darkness in us as well. And that darkness tends to overcome us at times. It seems to kind of dispel the light, but that is not true. There is no darkness that can overcome the light. The light always overcomes the darkness. When I was thinking about what I would share with you today, I was thinking about a passage in Deuteronomy. Let me see, I lost it here already. Deuteronomy 10th chapter. If you got your Bibles and you want to turn there, that's fine. 10th chapter. And this particular part of the scripture is talking about something that we should be adhering to as well. Not just the people of Israel. Now, the people of Israel was what they called, what was known as, and still known today, as God's people. They are God's people. But when you were grafted in to that family, you became God's people too. So we are God's people. So when we read something in Scripture and it says God's people, or is talking about Israel, he's talking about us too. There's no change. We've been the same since the fall. And unfortunately, we need to have these words that keeps us grounded, if nothing else. So if you got your Bible, you want to turn to the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy. No, it's 11th chapter, forgive me. 11th chapter, beginning in verse 13. We'll read a few verses here, and I'd like to close out with another verse out of Hebrews. But we'll check this out first. The 13th verse, it says, "It shall come about if you listen obediently." See, God is not without giving us daily commands. He doesn't want you just to listen on Sunday. He wants you to listen obediently day after day after day after day. Now, some people might say, well, that'd get a little bit monotonous, wouldn't it? Some people may think like that. But the Lord doesn't think like that. He tells us that we are to be obedient. Why is there trouble in the world today? Why is there trouble in the churches today? Because we don't want to be obedient. But he tells us clearly here, it shall come about if you listen carefully, listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today. A lot of commanding going on there, isn't there? Now, if I was to come up to you and we was just having a casual conversation and I said to you, I'm commanding you to do this, you would say, no, you're not commanding me to do anything. See, that's the nature of a darkened heart. The nature of a darkened heart is one who says, I'm not doing that. But the Lord says, I have given of you my spirit, and by that spirit, you are to obey what I'm telling you to do. And I'm giving you that today, and today, and today. Guess what? Each day that you render is today, isn't it? I mean, what are you going to call today? It's today, isn't it? Today, today, tomorrow, if you get to tomorrow, today. It's going to be your today. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what God is saying here. If you get to this today, then you need to be obedient to what I command you to do. Now, you're not going to take commandments probably from anybody else unless you're in the military and you have a ranking commander, something like that. But today, people aren't listening to God because they don't want to be obedient. Obedient to what? To his commands. He says, I am commanding you today to love the Lord. Oh my goodness. To love the Lord. Now listen to this. Above all things. What's he say first? Be obedient to this command. Love the Lord. Love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Wow. That's a pretty big charge. That's a huge charge. Because see, it's not easy for us. We can come to church and we can put on our finery and we can sit in our pews and we can say the amens and sing the songs and maybe participate in the, you know, the Lord's Supper. But within our hearts, we've got a darkening that says, I'm not doing that. I haven't got time to figure out how to love the Lord. I've got things to do. I've got other places to be. I got to work today. I got to play today. I got to take care of my kids today. I got to go to school today. Oh, I got to go to church and mow the yard or take out the garbage or whatever today. I got to do all those things. I haven't got time to love the Lord. I haven't got time to think about the Lord. I'll think about him Sunday when the preacher's preaching, maybe. And to serve him, he not only wants you to love him, but he wants you to serve him. Serving is about subservience. It's about being less. That's what serving is. Serving is not some type of equality that you're trying to get to. It's about being less. For me to serve you, I'd have to die to myself some. For me to serve the Lord, my God, I'd have to die to myself some. And see, that's the trouble. See, we don't want to give up ourselves. We don't want to give up ourselves, even to love the Lord or even to serve the Lord. Now, if you think about everything that God has done for you, you might come to a place in your life where you would render some kind of acknowledgement or some kind of accolade, maybe. Some kind of, maybe if you were in church, you would call it worship. But if your heart has not been born again by the Spirit of God, and you don't have God in there, you're not going to do anything but reject the Lord. Doesn't matter how many services you sit in, doesn't matter how many pastors you hear or ignore, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The Lord says, you are to love me and you are to serve me with all your heart and with all your soul. With all your soul. You know, that's the part that the Lord the part that the Lord seals for the day of redemption. Our soul is what goes with the Lord when we die. When we drop this human flesh, our soul goes immediately to the Lord. You know why? Because it's His. That's why. If you know Him, He has sealed your soul. He has sealed your heart. We call it the heart. But He has sealed your soul for the day of redemption. And when redemption comes, if you know Him, if your heart has been sealed by the Holy Spirit, you immediately go to Him. And you're present with Him for eternity. Now, He does some other things when you get there. And it says here, to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul, that He will give the rain for your land in its season, and the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain, in your new wine and your oil. In other words, he says, you love me, I'm going to make provision for you. That's what that's about. It's about provision. Because you need these things. You need to eat. You need to have the oils to prepare and do all kinds of other stuff with. But you need these things. And so what He's saying to us here, even now, He's telling us that I have a provision I want to make for you. If you get to this place where you're obedient to me. See, that's the first thing He calls us to. Obedience. If you can't get past obedience, or if you can't get to obedience, you're not going to be able to get to the place where He's going to be providing every single thing you need. That's what He's saying here. And He says, He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle, then you will eat and be satisfied. Oh, satisfied. That's a big one for people today. You know, many of the people that I see today, many of them I talk to, they're not satisfied. They're never satisfied. If it ain't one thing, it's one more thing. If it ain't that thing, it's one more thing. One after one after one after one, until it overwhelms them. Till eventually they don't see Jesus at all. They most certainly can't love Him. How can you love someone if you ignore them all the time? How can you love your spouse if you ignore your spouse all the time? How can you love your children if you ignore your children all the time? How can you do it? It can't be done. Can't be done. And so He's saying, if you do these things, I'm going to not only make provision for you, but I'm going to help you to be satisfied. Now, Joanne Milholland's not here today, but her idea and her life is settled in what is called contentment. She is one of the most contented people I know. She doesn't strive for anything. She doesn't desire anything. She's just content where she's at. She loves her little house over there. She don't want to move. She wants to be right there. And she's not here today because she's not feeling well. But she has contentment. Now, the question I would have for you is, do you? And do I? It's for me too. All this that I preach, well, I don't preach, that the Lord preaches, is for me too. I don't go around saying, you need to do this, you need to do this, and I don't need to do anything. I have to do all this first. He preaches these things to me first before He preaches it to you as His people. So I got to find myself here somewhere too. Am I satisfied where I'm at? I'd like to think so. Like Pastor Ed said, I like to think so, because see, we all need some measure of, he used the word hope, and that's what we need, isn't it? We need some hope. You need any hope today? Maybe your life's perfect. If it is, well, good for you. But most people's lives are not perfect. Most people, even in this place, are going through some kind of difficulty or suffering in their life. Now, I do realize that after a while, after you kind of go through something time and time again, it just becomes kind of routine, like having a bad knee or weak legs. After a while, you just kind of, well, that's just the way it is, isn't it? But the Lord is saying, I want you to be satisfied. I know I only want to make provision for you, but I want you to be satisfied. And he goes on and listen to this. He says, beware. Oh boy, there's always seems to be a warning when you're dealing with Jesus. He's always given some kind of warning. He's like a police officer pulls you over when you're speeding. May I see your license and registration, please? He's always there to give us a warning. He says, beware that your hearts are not deceived. You may not know it, but the world is deceived. You may not understand it. The prince of this, the prince of the air is Satan himself. And let me tell you what Satan renders. He renders deceitfulness, he renders the lie, he renders hatred, he renders murder, he renders thievery, he renders all types of things that are sinful unto a holy God. And when you find yourself walking down those paths, you flick open your computer and look at a little porn when nobody's looking. Where you go down, you slip into a liquor store somewhere and get you a pint of gin. And what is that? Gin is this. Don told me earlier, gin is the breath of something. I can't remember it now. What was that, Don? The wages of gin is breath because you can't smell it. But let me tell you something. You cannot deceive the Lord. That's why he doesn't say here, make sure that your Lord does not get deceived. He says, make sure you do not be deceived. Because he cannot be deceived. But he's telling us that we can. It's easy for us to be deceived. I was watching something the other night on TV or something. They got a lot of these psychic programs on now, like paranormal activities. And they was they was talking about the Pearl Harbor when it was attacked. And they eventually made a memorial over the Arizona. Over 1,000 men, that's their grave. And they made this memorial. And you can go over there and you can stand over, actually, the ship that sunk there where they was. And they was talking about all kinds of weird things that happened there. All kinds. You go there, there's a strong sense of reverence, which should be, because those were God's people. But they talk about other stuff. Seeing pictures of the men in the water. Things like that. God is not doing that. He doesn't try to deceive you with some kind of trickery of your eye, because your eye will deceive you. Your eye will lie to you. Don't trust your eye. That's why he says we walk by faith and not by sight. Because your sight will deceive you. So when you're listening to or watching somebody say something on TV or going to the movies or just listening to your neighbor, you need to be careful what people are saying. If they're not saying something about Jesus, they're probably not saying anything worth listening to, actually. That's the way I see it. I was listening to this other lady who was talking, and I said, wow, that woman's got some strong faith. And, you know, she was talking about something. I can't even remember what it was. But she was talking, and I was listening to her because she was talking about the Lord and stuff like that. And she got to the end of her program. And then she says, and you know, my relationship with Jesus helps my zen. I was thinking to myself, what? Helps your zen. Let me tell you something. If you're listening to that garbage, you need to flip that off. because that's nothing but satanic deception. That's what it is, and that's what he's telling us here. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away. See, that's what happens. We turn away. When we're deceived, we'll say, well, I don't like what that pastor's saying anymore. I'm going somewhere else. Well, I won't go to church at all. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Well, I don't want to read the Bible today. I don't want to do a devotion today. I don't want to pray or sing today. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want to turn away from all that because to me it's foolishness. If the truth is foolishness to you, then you have been deceived. That's truth. He tells us, you can see it for yourself. You don't have to trust me. As a matter of fact, I hope that you won't. I hope you'll go to the truth. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Now, most of us in here would not do that, I'm pretty sure. But there might be something that you're serving that doesn't bring any pleasure to the Lord whatsoever. Now, I don't know about you, but my life, what I want to do is please the Lord. I don't want to please you. I don't want to please men. I don't want to please government. I don't want to please science. I don't want to please anything. I want to please my God. And my God says, if you please me, then you'll love me with all your heart and soul, and you will obey me. That's it. It's not some grandiose big plan. You don't have to go out and start a new program somewhere or adjust the program that you have. The truth is the truth, and it doesn't change. We're the ones that change. We're the ones that mess around with the truth. Because we want it to fit our truth and not God's truth. Listen to what he says here. He says, don't want to serve. You don't want to be serving no other gods. Now, there is a passage of scripture that says that the people of Israel, what they would do, they would serve all kinds of things. They'd serve things made of wood, serve things made of stone, they'd serve things made of glass, whatever. Dirt, whatever. And they would serve these things and they would carve them into different shapes and stuff for how they wanted served. Some of them were two-footed, some of them were four-footed. Be careful what you worship. You better be careful what you worship. You got to put the right things in the right place and it's got to be in the right time. Because, see, if you do, you turn away from God, you worship other gods, other idols, other powers, whatever you want to call it. This is what happens. Or the anger. Now, today, see, if you get angry with me, just walk out. And you don't have to do anything about it. But with God, you can't do that. If you disobey God, you serve other gods instead of Him, He is going to get angry at you. He will. He'll be angry with you. He said, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you. Now, some people think against you, well, maybe he's talking about the nation of Israel. No, he's talking about you. You can't wiggle out of that one. He's talking about us. Me, you, individually. His anger will be kindled against you, not for you, against you. Against you, and he will shut up the heavens. Amen to that. I don't want the heavens shut up. I want them opened up. I pray often, Lord, open the floodgates of heaven, rain down upon your people, rain down upon us. Let us hear your words with new hearts, with new minds. Let us hear what you have to say and not what man is saying, because they're messed up. We're bent. We're all bent. I'm broken and I got a bent mind. You can't trust me. You got to trust the Lord. That's why so many people get deceived by pastors and stuff who are preaching some heresy, because they're not trusting the Lord. They're trusting a man. Believe me, I got all kinds of faults. We don't even have time to name them all. But I'm telling you, don't put your faith in men. Put your faith in God. Serve Him. Please Him. No one else. No one else. Listen what he says. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you will be, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish. Perish. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to perish. And he says, not just perish, but you'll perish quickly. In other words, he's not going to say, well, we're going to put you in a holding cell over here, and I'll get to you when I get to you. I'm a busy God. He's not going to do that. He says, you'll perish quickly. Now, when I think about the Lord, and I think about His eternal state of things, His sovereignty over everything that's confined by time, He is sovereign over everything. He is sovereign over this, the time of our lives. When I think about the Lord and the sovereignty He has over time, I think about, when I read something like this, I think about how quick is quick with the Lord. How quick is it? Will we know it? Will we notice it? How much? When will we notice? When will we see it? When will we hear it? Now, I'm thinking that when the Lord says quickly, He's meaning pretty fast. Probably faster than any stopwatch we got can measure. That's what He says. It's in the fruit. You will perish quickly from the good land while the Lord, which the Lord is giving you. We are exactly in that place right here, in this place in America. That's exactly where we're at. See, things are going pretty good right now, but it is struggling. There's going to be some struggles, and they're coming. Believe me, they're coming. And you're going to say to yourself, Lord, that's when, see, people cry out to the Lord. When things get so desperate, when they can't eat, they're going to cry out to the Lord. When they don't have clean water to drink, they're going to cry out to the Lord. When you have to wear the same filthy clothes week after week after week, they're going to cry out to the Lord. When you got people that's telling you what to do that you don't want to do, you're going to cry out to the Lord, or you're going to perish quickly. I'm hoping that none of you perish. I'm hoping that you'll take an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ, to make that right today. See, there's a right way to have a relationship with God. And that right way is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. None. I don't care what they say on TV. I don't care what they're preaching from pulpits. I don't care what the universities are preaching or government is saying. I don't care about any of that. The only thing I care about is what my Lord tells me. That's it. And I'm hoping you do the same. Stop getting into all that other stuff. Take a little bit of time each day. Spend 10 minutes with the Lord. Then you'll want to spend 15. Then you'll want to spend 20. Then you'll want to spend an hour. And before long, forget TV. I got Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something, something about that name. Let us pray. Father God, we are thankful again for the opportunities you give us to come together as your people. And Lord, we have gathered here as an assembly of people that I hope and pray know you as their Savior, as their Lord. But Lord, I can't say for certain, but Lord, I know one thing. They don't want to be caught in a place where they can perish quickly. None of us do. I don't want to find any of these here lost or perishing. I want them to know you. Lord, we'll come to this table here in a few minutes. We'll come here and I pray, Lord, that our hearts might be humbled. Be humbled by the fact that years ago you stood with your disciples at the table and you told them, I desire. I love that. I desire to have this supper with you. And Lord, the message you gave them at that time is the same message today. You desire to have this supper with us. So let us be mindful of you as we partake in these elements. And thank you, Lord, for the message of your truth. I pray, Lord, it has penetrated the hearts of your people, has opened up their minds to a new reality, the reality that you're coming soon, the reality that salvation through Jesus Christ is what we need. So thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you. We ask, Lord, you be merciful according to your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.